Tzaraim tovim, Rabotai. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. I told Shmuel this story, but not everybody knows this story. When I was in my first year of Beis Medrash in the Mir Yeshiva. Oh, you told?
I told it young this morning.
I was not necessarily the most yeshiva shtool in the shack yet. It was around November time. I don't even remember. I think it was Shir Klal. I don't remember how it came up, but I was speaking to the Rishiva, and then he asked me, maybe.
Which
Rishiva? Rav Kamenevich, my Rebbe.
This is in Brooklyn?
This is in Brooklyn.
Oh, that was Rishiva.
Yeah. No. It came up. He's like, do we eat turkey? And it was November, so I'm like, not religiously. I'm like, I told him, what does Rishiva mean on Thanksgiving? And my Rebbe's like, if you know, he's a festa brisker or whatever. He's like, best reaction ever. I didn't chop what he was saying. He was referring to the Rama. Long story. Anyway, but I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving today because it's a big deal. I'm not getting into the, you know, yeshivish versus modern Orthodox controversy. Because I'm looking from a halachic perspective today. That's it. If it's mutar, it's mutar even for, you know, the most yeshivish person in the world. And if it's asur, it's asur for modern Orthodox too. Sorry, guys. You know, mechila. No, not you guys. Not them guys. Anyway, this is not. I'm not a politician. I'm daber halacha. Before we start. There's not so much literature in the poskim about Thanksgiving itself. It's an American holiday. We'll speak about soon about if there's religious underpinnings there, but yeah, there's not so much. Rav Moshe actually does speak about it several places in Igrot Moshe, which we'll get to. That's the only mention specifically, in the literature of the poskim to Thanksgiving. But I want to start with something a little bit before. There's an isun in the Torah. Nisur Torah, not to go in the derech, in the paths of the goyim. We cannot emulate the goyim. Now that seems to be a very, very broad, you know, isur. What does that mean? Goyim do. I mean, let's put it this way: we do many of the things that goyim do. We eat, we drink, we work, we do a lot of things. So what are the parameters of that isur? So there's a very famous teshuvah by the Maharik, Rabbeinu Yosef Kolon, one of the migdolei poskei Rishonim. He was towards the tail end of the Rishonim, really the beginning of the Acharonim, the end of the 1300s, but Maran Abet Yosef treats him as a Rishon. He brings him all over the place. He was an Italian Rishon. Maran Abet Yosef and the Derkei Moshe both bring him in Yoreh De'a Siman Kuf Ayin Chet Bishtika. They bring him and he has a tshuva about this thing. Interesting, the tshuva over there in Maharik, he was asked, again, it was a little bit, I don't know exactly what it was talking about, but he was asked if there was a certain bigud that doctors would wear after they graduated medical school. Let's assume for a second it was a lab coat, and all of the goyish doctors wore it, and there was a Jewish medical graduate that asked the Maharik, am I allowed to, now that I'm a doctor, wear the lab coats, or is that a show of uvchukotem lo telechu? So this is a fascinating teshuvah. The Bet Yosef says, I'll quote you the Lashon. V'katav Mari Kolonza, Shorosh Pechet, De'en le'esor mishum chok. Now don't forget, look at the language of the Torah. Uvchukotehem lo telecho. The Torah doesn't say lo titnahagu kmo goy. The Torah says uvchukotehem lo telecho. Don't go. It doesn't even say uvdarkehem in their path. It's weird. The Torah says uvchukotehem. Don't follow their chok. Now in general, chok is something that's unexplained, something that's illogical. Ela be'echad mishne chalakim. Ha'echad hu ha'davar. Asher in ta'amon nigla. Number one is something that the goyim do without any apparent reason. They just do it because it's their custom. There's no real reason behind it. כי זה משמע לשון ראשי, וכתובי לשון ראשי, והרמב"ן פרשת קדושים, דכיוון שהוא עושה דבר משונה, אשר אין בו טעם נגלה, אלא שהם נוהגים כן, אז נראה ודאי כנמשך אחריהם ומודה להם. ואם כן, למה יעשה כדברים התמויים? If it's something weird, something that doesn't make sense, something that is illogical, doesn't have a reason behind it, the only other reason why you would do it is only what? מנדמה להם, in order to emulate them, and that's an איסור. Number two, ברוך אתה אדוני, אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. והעניין השני, he says, אשר יש לאסור משום חוקות הגויים, לפי הנראה לעניות דעתי, הוא הדבר אשר שייך בו פריצה דרך הצניעות וענווה. ונהגו בו הגויים, גם זה אסור. If there's something that they, some minhag that they do, even if there is a ta'am to it, but it's promiscuous, something that's not tsanua, something that's outlandish that the goyim do, you can't do that either, even with a ta'am. Now, otherwise, so now the answer to that person's question, the Ma'arik says, we understand why the person's wearing a lab coat. He wants to stand out. It's kind of like a testament that he finished medical school and that everybody knows, and it's a good way to get business, whatever it is. So he told him, mutar heter gamur, to wear that lab coat, kach pasaklo. The Ran says a similar idea in the first Pirik of Masechet Avodah Zarah. Not exactly the same words, the Ran was a little bit before, but same concept. Now, both of the Bet Yosef and the Rama, like I said, paskin like this. This Bet Yosef comes up every Chag HaShavuot with regards to the Minhag Yisrael to decorate Bet HaKnesset and Bet HaMidrash, or the house. Different people have different minhagim with all sorts of, today became flowers, but if you look in the earlier Rishonim, it wasn't flowers. It was trees, branches, bushes. So the question was whether it's mutar, or because we live in a day and age where goyim do that on their holidays, is that appropriate? Maran Zichron Baruch has a teshuvah about it in Chavedat Chelik Gimel Siman Lamed Gimel Chelik Dalet Lamed Gimel Daleg. He says over there that it is mutar based on this Bet Yosef, notwithstanding the opinion of the Hayadam Gaon Mivilna in Maasirav. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes the Gaon Mivilna. He was very, very upset about such a minhag, and he says it's minhag shel goyim, and that's why those who follow the Gaon don't have. Mishnah Berurah brings it. Yeah, I know. I'm before that. Yeah. Anyway, no. Bavadai. Now. Did the Mishnah Berurah paskin against it? I think he brings down the Da'ah. I don't know if. I don't remember if he was Machriya. I would look in Tafzadi Dalit. If you look in Tafzadi, let's see how he's Machriya. But that was the famous Machlok. The Rama says this minhag of being Ma'atir. So it's a Rama in the gross. I don't know if he was Machriya against him. Huh?
Are they arguing on this Ma'arik?
Yes. The Gros argues on the Ma'arik, and he says any resemblance to a Ma'aseh Shel Akum, especially in the realm of Avodah Zarah, you got to stay away from. Now,
so the girl would say you can't wear the white coat.
Lechayra. He limited it to practices of Avodah Zarah, really. So I don't know about that. Over there, it wasn't really a pagan thing. It was just things that pagans were doing. Over here, you know what I'm saying? Over here by the trees, that was really, that was really an Avodah Zarah thing. So that's why he said to stay away from it. But coming back to this, now.
So why was the Rav Avadya naked?
With what? Bet Yosef. Bet Yosef Mefarash.
It's
not Avodah Zarah. I'm not worshiping the tree.
I think it's Avodah Zarah related.
It's not. They have to do the same thing for their.
That's how it looks nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly the point. There's a reason to resemble Har Sinai, all the. The Gro would say, too bad, it's still note, it's still dome to Avodah Zarah, harchek. Yeah, that's the difference of opinion here. Now, a little bit of a, I want to give you a little, let's read the Lashon of Rav Moshe. This is one of his shorter teshuvot. This is in Yoreh De'ah Dalet Siman Yud Aleph. So listen to what he says over here. He has a whole tshuva. בענייני איסור דבחוקותם לא תלכו. So, here we go. Oh, the first piece, by the way, is interesting. Going to theaters and stadiums. So you might want to read that one too. So. Od Dalit. Huh? No, he says. So over here, Od Dalit, he says an interesting thing. Im asul mitzad b'chukotem lo telechu lishtatef b'seudat yom ha'odaya she'osim b'arzot ha'brit. Yeah, that's us. I love when they just like, when they Hebraicize English words, like especially, I love it. Yeah. Ubdavar ha'ishtatfut b'mi shemachshivim yom ha'odaya, Thanksgiving, in parentheses. Love it. Ke'ein chag la'asot bo seuda. Okay, so now look at the, Rav Moshe has an interesting way of analyzing the isur of being nidma to the goyim. Hine lecha ora mikivan shebesifrei datam lo huskar yom ze lechag. V'gam lo sheitchayvu b'seuda, he says, if you look in the literature of the Avodah Zarah, it's not brought down, but I guess they have a list of holidays. You know, they, everybody knows in Christian literature their list of holidays. Yeah, Zeshel Abachur, and then around Pesach time, they have all these, you know, holidays. This one ain't on the list. That's number one. V'gam lo
yitchayvu b'seuda. They have like a star of holidays? On what list?
In their doctrines, I don't know. I never read them. I'm echpatli. Now he says, Kitzer. V'gam lo yitchayvu b'seuda. V'chivan. I forgot to speak about this by the election. What a great shayla. You know what they did? You know how many people had their polling sites in churches? Binyamin, what are you saying? Mishnah Alachot, cholek alav. Maran zichron v'cha, cholek alav. It says, isur gamur. Now there's a spalt, there's a chiluk. Huh? Yeah. Now, the Mishnah Alachot says that there is a difference. I forgot to speak about this. I can't tell you how many people called me with that shayla. I don't know why. And you can't even ask them to change your polling site. This is it. Alachana Moshe Mishnah. Lechata, why can't I? Miata. Anyway, Bekitzer. So he says there's a difference, you know, sometimes these Batei Avodah Zarah, they're huge complexes. And on their grounds, they have like a library and an annex and a playground and a gym and whatever. So if it's in the actual building of the Bet Avodah Zarah, it's asur. But he says if it's in one of the annexed buildings, then it's mutar, which happened to have been the case in many of these things. I looked into it. So, interesting.
It could be a different building?
Yeah.
Would it be connected though?
Yeah.
So, like two.
Huh?
There's another room?
No. In the same building, meaning if you're walking into the same building as the Bet Tiflut, asur.
Like this whole entire building would be asur?
Yes. It has to be like a different building. Now.
What if it's connected by the hallway or something?
No. If it's a different, whatever, connection by. Why? Because of Nitzoke Chibur. That's a different story. Anyway, so he says, "V'gam lo sheitchayvu b'seuda, v'kivan shu yom zecher l'anshei medina." Third thing. First of all, it's not in their doctrines. Number two, there's no chiyuv religiously. And number three, it's more of a national holiday as opposed to a religious one. Shu gam ken sameach b'medina shebalagur kan ata o mikvar lo matzino b'ze isur lav simcha b'seuda v'lo ba'achilat tarnegol hodu indik, which is the Turkey. Anyway, he says he brings it. Ah, yeah. The Gemara says Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Samach Vav, Yanai HaMelech. There was some sort of island somewhere that they had a hard time conquering. It was called Kohalit, and they finally were able to overcome it and conquer that place. And when they conquered it, they ate vegetables. So that day, every year, they made a zecher. Yanai HaMelech made a gzerah. Okay, zecher lazer. We're going to eat vegetables. That same vegetable. That, okay, so he says it's the same idea. Huh?
Not for the entire nation. It can be a personal thing for himself.
For himself and the...
Nachon.
But he brings a...
The nation, then you have to get on to the Shavuot.
Nachon. Nachon. But he didn't make a mitzvah out of it. That's what... Here. That's the end of what Rav Moshe says. Aval bevadai, asur likboa ze lechova ulmitzvah, ela lesimchat rashut ata. Ubeofen ze, belo kviot chova ulmitzvah, yuchal gam leshana acheret, gam ken nismoch velaasot bo seuda. You can't make it into a kavua de kazach. Now, what does Kavod HaKazach mean? It doesn't mean necessarily frequency if you're doing it every year. Rav Moshe measures kvias of Thanksgiving dinner, not by frequency, rather by a weggestellkeit.
Translation.
All right. Anyway, the kids are, you guys. Anyway. You guys have got to get out and see the world a little bit more. Oh, that's why the Yiddish doesn't penetrate anymore? Anyway, it's the kvi'ut that a person does it in. The, you know, chok v'lo'yavor, there are these families I know. Now again, I'm not going to one community or another, just bear with me here. The whole family has to gather together and sit down for a formal Thanksgiving dinner to a We're going to sit down as a family, worshiping the turkey. Matause. Or even Rav Moshe says that you can't do. That's mamash of chokotem lo telecho. What are you doing? You're sitting down together. There's a vacation day, so you're sitting down to dinner and you happen to serve turkey. Okay, beseder. But if it's like mamish ingrained in your mind, now this is pretty subjective to that family. If you're making a matzav, no, you have to show up. And yet we have to go around the table, you know. And what are you thankful for, John? What are you doing? Ma ta'amalik? You have what I'm saying? You have to... Jews don't do that. Just if you go with the flow with it kind of thing, we're all from work, we gather together and whatever, and then, you know, okay, that's a different story. But if you're making mamash kavua, אבל אני סובר את זה מכל מקום, אסור לעשות יום קבוע בשנה לחוק זה. ורק בשנה ההיא שכבש ינאי המלך, בזה עשה השמחה ולא לקביעות. He only did it that... That year, that he brought from Yanai Melech. Anyway,
how's he measuring kviyus? What's he saying? Many people they do it every year. That's what they want.
That's what he said. Even if you do it every year, that's not the definition of kviyus. Kviyus, according to him, means how it's done.
It's just that everyone comes back home.
I guess so. Yeah, lechaura. Now, or if there's like certain rituals that. You know, I'm not even talking about the foods. The foods, who cares? You know what I'm saying? You can serve whatever food you want. You know what I really don't like? It really makes me very nervous. I've heard about this before, and I don't know. I have to go be tovin after I hear this. But I'm telling you, these people, they make a whole Thanksgiving dinner of azeh, and they said, you know what? Let's make something mifar, something really nice, whatever, and whatever's left over, we'll serve on Shabbos. Then for Lin Shabbat, we'll serve leftovers on Shabbos. Bizayon. Shabbat. They don't cook because it's time. Take out everybody's full. We'll take out leftovers. Talamit Bayesh? That's how you train Shabbat Kodesh? Maybe that's part of the chok, that you're being machshiv more the Thanksgiving dinner over Seudat Shabbat. So for serve your leftovers on Thanksgiving, Geinam. What do you have to... No, Bemet. That you're going to take out all your leftovers b'Shabbat? At least cook something for. Not to say that you can't. I gave the shiur once, and a guy came home and told his wife that the Rav said you can't serve any leftovers on Shabbat. It's asur. Everything has to be fresh. I said, Chabub, that's not what I said. You took it. You made her. I didn't say you can't. Leftovers are great. I'm a big fan of leftovers. But don't make the ikar the American pastime and Chalila Shabbat become the tafil. Shabbat is Shabbat Kodesh. Mazeh. Anyway, so that's Rav Moshe. Now, how do you exactly quantify Rav Moshe? I guess every family is different. Okay, fine. Historically, many Gdole America disagreed with Rav Moshe, namely Rav Avigdor Miller, Alav Shalom, Rav Hutner, Alav Shalom, as quoted by his Talmid Rav Yaakov Feitman. They both said, based on historians, they looked very deeply into it. Where did Thanksgiving come from? If you do a little research, you'll see that it was the Puritans who, this was in the year, they came to America from England in the year 1622. Okay, these were a devout group of Christians that were religiously persecuted in England. They were part of the church, and at the time, who was the head of the Catholic Church? No, the king. The king of England, during that kufa, he was the head. So there was infighting between different factions of Christianity. There was the Protestants and the Catholics and whatever. And these people were fed up. They're like, okay, no more of this. And they were like, not political, but they were religious refugees from England who ran away to, they pledged allegiance to the king. They got his permission. Then they went to America. And that first winter was terrible for them. Everybody, you know, you remember from history. And like half of them died out because they couldn't find crops and they didn't find the Indians yet, the Native Americans to, you know, help them. And then in 1623, they found turkeys. And, you know, whatever. And then they made pacts with the Native Americans and they showed them some of their turkeys and they showed them some of their corn. And then that's how cornflakes were born. Anyway, because that was that. What's the logo? What's the mascot for the Kellogg's for cornflakes? The turkey guy. Anyway, Bekitzer, that's pshat. I just made it pshat. Anyway, I think it's a chicken. Or no? It's a chicken? Okay, I made it a turkey. They're cousins. So, Mikol Makom, one of Rav Moshe's ta'anot was that it's not written in their sfarim. Now, at the time, these Puritans, who also colloquially named the Pilgrims, they broke off from the church and they turned themselves into Anglicans. They were the first group of Christians in the United States during the formation of this country, the Anglicans. And then they made the Episcopal Church, whatever, all sorts of zachen. They didn't have any books at the time. There were no written things, and they were the ones that made the holiday. So there's definitely Christian religious underpinnings. Who do you think they were thankful for, right? A holiday of thanks for, you know, making it through the winter and settling in a new land. They weren't thanking the country. The United States wasn't around yet in 1623. They were thanking their version of God. And they definitely do not believe in Achduto Yitbarach, right? They called themselves new Israelites. You know that? You know what that means? They felt that they were leaving Mitzrayim, England, and coming to the Promised Land. They were coming to America, so they called themselves. So they had like weird. They took on Jewish names. There's all sorts of weird zachin. But at the end of the day, they were still very much mishu'abad to Christianity. That was their religion. So there's definitely religious stuff there. Interestingly, I heard a shiur about this yesterday from the Rishon LeZion Gaon Rabbi David Yosef, and he spoke about Thanksgiving in America, which is uncharacteristic of Israeli Gdolim. Never usually they don't touch Thanksgiving because it's not their thing. But Chaim David is, I guess, American enough, so he discussed it. And he said, based on the research that he did also, he quotes Rav Moshe, and he says, though, that it seems that it's much, much more of a religious holiday than people make it out to be. And he is Notel Esor. He's Notel Esor Mamash, like the other, you know, non-Jewish holidays, the non-Jewish religious holidays. So, again, and that's not...
What do I care for this kind of religious holiday? Why is that relevant? It is no longer celebrated as a religious holiday.
The Goyim are not necessarily doing it for Avodah Zarah. The same way the tree that the Goyim have today is also not being worshipped as Avodah Zarah, as it was originally by the Asherah cult, even before Christians. And yet, Ha'itachen Ya'aleh Al Hadat. No, you know, I'm just going to bring a tree into the house just for nice decor during the winter, you know, on those long winter nights.
That's being modest to a Jew. Well,
I'm not saying Avodah Zarah Mamash, but I'm saying, these poskim are saying, let's call a spade a spade. It did start as a religious holiday. It definitely does have pagan underpinnings. And whether or not you want to traverse into the, you know, into this dimension of Abizarah Avodah Zarah, which is Yareg Val Ya'avor, I don't know. You want to be somech on Rav Moshe? That's fine. You want to be somech on the other poskim? That's also fine. But even Rav Moshe, don't take it too far and make it like some people are more makpid in it. They're more makpid be'ilchot Thanksgiving than they are about tefillin. That's like a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Or more makpid in Thanksgiving dinner than they are about Seudat Lel Shabbat. That's a busha v'chirpa. That's a busha.
I think that's not going to change from one generation to the next.
It can, definitely.
Playing cards?
Huh?
Clubs?
What clubs?
Clubs or spades of playing cards is originally a symbol for Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but it's not a cross anymore.
That's what I'm saying. The isn't that like, you can use that. What's the difference between having a meal?
That's a symbol.
A No, but that symbol was worse. They used that.
But, no, no, no. Put that. No, no, no. Ufchukotem. When you're making a formal meal, I know. Even Rav Moshe doesn't mention that.
I don't know why not. Why isn't the Baal Tzitzis? It's against the Ramban Chumash. You're making a new holiday.
I guess that's more built into what Rav Moshe is saying if you're making it kavua. If you're making it kavua, I understand what you're saying. But if it's not kavua and you're just sitting around for dinner on a Thursday night when you don't have work, okay, besede.
I never go and sit around for dinner. Everyone's always in Landers. Now all of a sudden everyone's slumping home. I never do this any other time. Why isn't that about Tyson?
So why don't you call me and come over? You always you have a day off and you want to go home, see your family. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Chaim David himself said in the Shir, you have a vacation day, you want to sit with the family, even eat there, that's fine. In MTJ and Yeshiva Staten Island, they serve turkey on Thanksgiving. Reuben said that, yeah. That was for dinner. They never have Thanksgiving, they just serve turkey. You know why? Because whatever, you know what I'm saying? No, I heard Reuben say, he says in Staten Island, they serve turkey on Thanksgiving.
Rav David discussed this
Ramban. It's true. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. He did. So, I'd kind of a time.